Hello and greetings to all. My name is Paul Weber, and I'd like to welcome you to the teleclass Save Lives, the Clean Your Hands Global Initiative. Thank you very much for joining us today. Now, normally I would have the honor of introducing one very distinguished expert, but today it is a privilege to present two very important people. Professor Didier Pité is a man well known to all of us and, in fact, a teleclass veteran. In our recordings library, there are 5 Didier Pité lectures, and in our French language recordings library, there is one there as well. He's with the University of Geneva Hospitals and heads up the World Health Organization's first global patient safety challenge. He's well known to all, so I won't say more than that, but I will also say that presenting with Professor Pité is Dr. Cyrus Engineer. Dr. Engineer currently works at the World Health Organization in Geneva. He is the project manager for the Save Lives, Clean Your Hands initiative, which is part of the first global patient safety challenge, Clean Care is Safer Care. Dr. Engineer has a very distinguished background. He worked with John Hopkins School of Public Health on a large research project that aimed to assess the impact of healthcare legislation on the quality, safety, and viability of rural U.S. hospitals. He teaches courses at the Carey Business School and at Johns Hopkins University. He has worked as a hospital administrator in several American hospitals, as well as in India and Africa. Dr. Engineer is a trained and certified ISO 9000 auditor, and he led the effort for the first hospital in India to be certified to the ISO standard. He has a doctorate in public health, in healthcare management and leadership from the Johns Hopkins University, and it really is a great honor to have him with us today. I'd also like to acknowledge our teleclass sponsor, Deb Canada. These guys have been very generous to the teleclass education program really for a great long time. And they also support quite a number of other infection control education initiatives. So thank you very much indeed to all the good folk at Deb Canada. Now, to get our teleclass started from the University of Geneva Hospital in Switzerland, I give you the one and the only Professor Didier Pité. Didier.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul, and hello, everybody. It's a pleasure for me to be again with the Paul Weber teleclass and to address to you today. And the title that we have chosen together with my colleague, Cyrus Engineer, we will be speaking later today, is Save Lives, Clean Your Hands Global Initiative that I will be discussing together with Cyrus. This was the title on the first slide, and I propose to you to move to the second slide. The second slide, you have seen it already. This is a summary of the objective of the first Global Patient Safety Challenge of the World Alliance for Patient Safety of the World Health Organization. The initiative is called Clean Care is Safer Care, and the objective of the initiative is to reduce healthcare-associated infections worldwide. And I had the privilege to introduce this initiative to you a few years ago. And I will today summarize some of the results of this initiative before introducing to you the new part of this initiative, which is the Save Lives campaign of the 5th of May. If you move to the next slide, you remember that the Clean Care is Safer Care initiative has 5 action areas, one being blood safety, clinical procedure safety, injection and immunization safety, safe water and sanitation, and hand hygiene, which is the flagship of the program. The next slide illustrates these. The simple evidence, hand hygiene is the single most effective measure to reduce healthcare-associated infections. I guess there is no need to say it again, but it's always good to remember that when we are talking about hand hygiene promotion, we are working on the single most important and effective measure to reduce healthcare-associated infections and the spread of antimicrobial resistance in healthcare setting. Let's move to the next slide, which reminds you, for those who were with us already, the objectives of the challenge, the so-called challenge Clean Care is Safer Care. It has three major domains or action areas. First of all is raising awareness about healthcare-associated infection, which means that we are working with stakeholders in order to raise the awareness about the importance of healthcare-associated infection and importance of hand hygiene as a major preventive measure. The second aspect is mobilizing nations using these country pledges, which means that we have invited Ministry of Health from around the world to sign or to pledge for this initiative, and we'll come back on the results as of today. And the third aspect of the challenge has been the development of technical guidelines and tools and the implementation strategy that goes with those technical guidelines and tools that you are certainly very familiar with. Let's go to the next slide, which is a very nice illustration of the scaling up of the campaign. Between October 2005 and December 2008, this is to say in only 3 years, there has been 116 countries committed to address healthcare-associated infections worldwide. It means 116 Ministry of Health convinced about the importance of healthcare-associated infection, we signed a pledge and say, yes, we want to have a significant action against in order to reduce healthcare-associated infection. And these, as you can see on the map, is quite impressive. On the map, you have in orange all countries committed in 2005, 06, 07, and 08 to the initiative. In blue, the one we will commit in 2009, and there will be more countries signing the strategy in 2009. As you can see on the top of the slide, this represents 86% of the world population. So it means that today we are covering 86%, and actually a little more, of the world population by this initiative, and this is the fast ever spreading campaign at the level of the World Health Organization, which certainly tells you a lot about the importance of the problem and the significance of the action, would this action be efficacious. And I will come back on this a little later. Let's go to the next slide, summarizing in a few words some of the country progress reports that we have observed after a country would have signed the pledge. We have seen new policy development, financial and human resources allocation, national campaigning, we'll come back on that, national guidelines, training programs, new surveillance systems, and multimodal programs and implementation strategies in healthcare setting to reduce healthcare-associated infection and prevent infections and promote good practices at the bedside. The next slide shows you a map of the world with hand hygiene national campaigns. So it means that all those flags that you can see, including Canada, for those who are listening to us today from Canada, including many other countries from all around the world, who have decided to embark since the beginning of the program in developing strategies, and most of them are using WHO strategies, to go on a national scale. Those countries have been promoting hand hygiene using different tools, and this is a really great success of the campaign to see that not only hospitals or network of hospitals, but also entire countries are embarking in this strategy. And I'm pretty sure that there are more countries, but we are not aware of some of the countries that may have started recently a nationwide campaign, and there will be many more countries embarking into the program. The next slide summarizes for you, only in one slide, the technical word. This is to say the WHO guidelines on hand hygiene in healthcare that I have had the privilege to present to you already several times. As you know, those guidelines are based on evidence and expert consensus. There has been an advanced draft issued in October 2005. This draft and a summary of the draft have been translated in several languages, including here on the slide the 6 official WHO languages, but also in many other languages. Implementation strategy and tool packages have been tested in 2007 and 2008, and we are now revising the guideline and preparing the final version of the guidelines, including evidence update and lessons learned from testing in publications in 2009. And actually, we will be launching those guidelines on the 5th of May, but you will hear from that a little later by my colleague, Cyrus Engineer. The next slides summarize for you our major intent, which is not only to develop guidelines, which is on the left-hand side of the slide, which means, yes, knowledge has been improved by the development of those guidelines. But what we wanted to do is really improve practice at the bedside, not only figuring the good practices in a guideline document, but also obtain outcome improvement. And this is what we figure here on the slide, because we wanted to develop a strategy based on the guidelines that will be efficacious at the bedside. Now, this strategy has been developed, has been associated with a reduction in infection rates in some hospitals, as it is shown on the slide, but it has also been largely tested worldwide. And this is expressed on the next slide. The next slide shows you the field testing of the implementation. As you can see, this is a map of the world. The status was in December 2008. And the maps figure for you the different pilot sites in gray. The pilot sites were in Costa Rica, in Mali, in Italy, in Saudi Arabia, in Russia, in Pakistan, in Bangladesh, and in China, Hong Kong. Those pilot sites have been helped. They have been driving the entire implementation strategy under our close supervision. And I will show you earlier results of those pilot sites a little later in my slides. But there have been also complementary sites. We were not helped so much by us. We distributed the documents. They were available. The tools were available on the website. And we had some exchange with those complementary sites. And you may be working in some of those complementary sites. And then we got feedback from those complementary sites. And those feedback will be introduced in the strategy that has been revised from our guidelines. And we'll come back on that. The number of complementary sites is very, very large. We have 350 places, and some of those places may oversee 50 or even 100, in some cases, different hospitals. So we have a large testing of the strategy. On the next slide, which is just an illustration, to tell you that we have tested the strategy in very modern healthcare settings from all around the world, with different figures that you can see, to settings with very limited resources. So we really wanted to test the strategy in many, many different places, as many as possible, but in very different settings, because we wanted the strategy to be adapted in those settings. The next slides also illustrate to you that we have been testing this strategy in a multicultural environment. You see examples from different places in Asia, in the Middle East, in Africa, in Costa Rica, and so on and so on. This really has been tested in a multicultural environment. Because as you can understand, when you prepare such a strategy at the level of the World Health Organization, you have to be respectful of the different cultures from all around the world. The next slide summarizes for you something that you certainly know very, very well, which is the summary of the implementation strategy, which includes 5 core components of the so-called WHO multimodal hand hygiene improvement strategy. Those 5 core components are, number 1, system change, which is, as you know, replacing in institution where this is still not the case, soap and water, by the use of alcohol-based hand rub at the point of care, which is an essential element of the strategy. In some hospitals, this first system change is also associated with ensuring access to safe continuous water supply, soap and towels, in particular in developing countries. The second element, core component of the strategy, is training and education. We had a unified training and education system. We developed tools so that we can all train our healthcare workers the same way and educate our healthcare workers the same way. The third element is observation and feedback of compliance to healthcare workers that were observed using unified strategies for observation and feedback. The fourth element was the use of reminders in the hospital, different types of reminders from posters to all sorts of things to make sure that healthcare workers will remind about the importance of healthcare-associated infection and the importance of hand hygiene as the primary measure for prevention. And the fifth element was to develop hospital safety climate, which is extremely important. So these are the five core components of the multimodal strategy. The next slide is giving you some of the implementation tools. Here on the slide you see the clean care is safer care alcohol-based hand rub bottle, which is a little bit emblematic of the strategy. And the next slide summarizes for you all the tools that have been developed. As you see, we have developed a pilot implementation pack that goes with the guidelines and the tools for system change, tools for training and education, tools for evaluation and feedback, tools for reminding the staff in the workplace, and tools for promotion of a safety culture in the institution. Of course, the purpose of this lecture is not to come back on those tools, but I will remind you with a few items. Again, the core recommendation is a system change is the key action to hand hygiene improvement, which means the adoption of alcohol-based hand rub as a gold standard for hand hygiene in healthcare. Hand washing with soap and water is preferred only, and I repeat, only when hands are visibly dirty or following visible exposure to body fluid or suspected proven exposure to spore-forming bacteria. The next slide summarizes a very important matter for the WHO strategy. We actually developed all the tools so that hospitals who want to develop their own alcohol using the local production tools that we developed, we proposed two different formulas, WHO hand rub formula made of ethanol, WHO hand rub formula made of isopropyl alcohol, so that hospitals can really develop their own product at a very low cost. And this product is very, very well tolerated and very efficacious. The next slide illustrates for you different aspects that the local production or the system change has been reported all over the world. And these are just photos and photographs, and there may be hundreds of others that illustrate the importance of alcohol-based hand rubbing at the bedside. And I insist at the point of care, the closest as possible as the where the patient is. The next slide summarizes for you the WHO recommended hand rubs, the way it has been produced in our 11 pilot sites all around the world. Production at hospital level was made in 7 of those 11 sites. Production volumes varied between 10 and 600,000 liters per month. Cost of the product ranged from 0.3 to 0.5 US dollars or equivalent to US dollars per 100 milliliters, which is a cost that is between 3 and 10 times lower than the cost that you will find in many places. We obtain optimal quality control results in all sites. We tested stability at tropical temperatures, and it was absolutely perfect up to 19 months after the production. We had optimal tolerability and acceptability by healthcare workers. And actually, in five sites, we observed scale-up of the production from local to national production, which really tells you how important and how successful was the strategy of producing the so-called WHO-recommended alcohol-based hand rub, in particular for hospitals and settings, and sometimes for countries of limited resources. But I can tell you that in many different places it has been produced, also in area where the resources are available. The next slide summarizes for you for what is for me one of the most important elements for education, which is the tool that we developed called My 5 Moments for Hand Hygiene. To me, that's what will really change the behavior of healthcare workers. These 5 moments are before touching a patient, before clean and aseptic procedures, after body fluid exposure risk, after touching a patient, and after touching patient surroundings. For those interested, I would encourage you to access our publication in the Journal of Hospital Infection in 2007, where you will find all the rationale behind this model for hand hygiene promotion, for hand hygiene monitoring, for hand hygiene education. And as you will understand, this has been one of the very, very successful tools for changing the behavior of healthcare workers. On the next slide, you will see what I call a very important parameter for scaling up of a campaign. This is an illustration of the fact that adoption in many places, when you are speaking about behavior modification, entails adaptations. These are the posters that we have developed and the way they were adapted in several countries. As you can see, simply from left to right, you can see that the tool has been translated, in this case, from English to Italian, and then, as you can see, from English or from Italian to Arabic. And then on the right lower corner of the slide, the way it has been translated in Armenian in a hospital for infants or for children, a pediatric hospital. As you can see, a large adaptation of the concept. But on the next slide, you see another type of adaptation, again, translation and then adaptation. And as you know, for healthcare workers to adopt a strategy, they are and they need to adapt it. And this is a nice illustration, and we can show you hundreds of adaptations of our strategy. But let's move now to the next slide that introduces to you some examples of improvement in countries and healthcare settings implementing the WHO guidelines and strategy. The next slide shows you hand hygiene compliance improvement in pilot sites. Here you can see baseline monitoring of hand hygiene compliance in red, so this is to say baseline, in Costa Rica, in Mali, in Italy, in Hong Kong, in Saudi Arabia, and there were 2 pilot sites in Saudi Arabia. And in blue, you see the results at follow-up. And there is no question, in all sites, we had an improvement in hand hygiene compliance. On the next slide, here are some of the results of the importance attributed to the element of the WHO strategy to achieve hand hygiene improvement. And from left to right, you see the scoring using the median score that was given by the pilot sites to, first, again from left to right, the guide to implementation, average median score of 6, the action plan, median score of 6, the system change, median score of 7, education, 7, observation and feedback tools, 7, reminders, 7, and patient safety climate, 6. We can say that overall, it's clear that the importance attributed to the different elements of this multimodal strategy were very, very high. Like if, and supporting the fact that to really succeed in hand hygiene improvement, you need, and there is no question, you need to use several components of the strategy. If you use only one, it won't work. You need to use more than one. Okay? So now in the next slides, I will be coming and giving you some results of the different testing sites. The next slide shows you Africa, Mali. Mali was one of our pilot sites. The name of the hospital was Point G. We observed a full implementation of the WHO strategy at the Hôpital du Point G in Mali. We observed an increase of hand hygiene compliance from an average of 8% to an average of 22% after 6 months of the implementation. In parallel, we observed a prevalence of healthcare-associated infection that was reduced from 18.7% to 15.3%. We had a local production of 3,100 pocket bottles of the WHO formulation at the price of 0.3 US dollars per 100 milliliter, and we had actually the ministerial engagement for a national scale-up that will occur in 2009. So on the left-hand side, you have some illustrations of the differences observed before and after among healthcare workers and in the different sites in this hospital in Mali. So very successful story, very successful strategy in Mali. And the next slide illustrates to you the commitment of the ministerial and hospital authorities in Mali. On the left-hand side, you have the hospital pharmacist who was in charge of the campaign with a giant bottle of alcohol-based hand rub as the emblematic figure of the campaign. In the middle side, you have the CEO of the hospital, and in the right-hand side, you have the Ministry of Health signing on this giant bottle of alcohol-based hand rub to really express the commitment of the ministerial and hospital authorities to the campaign. Very nice illustration in Africa, in Mali, in one of the poor countries around the world. Let's move now to another place, Eastern Mediterranean. In this region of the world, we are proud to say that all Gulf countries have signed the pledge. The national campaigns are running in five different countries in this region. Let's focus on Saudi Arabia. We had a massive national campaigns implementing the WHO guidelines. We had pilot testing of the WHO strategy in two hospitals. And we also had there a very important and great patient participation. You have some illustrations of the different things that were happening with, again, an adaptation of our posters and signs on the different photos in the slide. The next slide showed you hand hygiene compliance rates and hand rub consumption in adult ICU in the pilot hospitals in Saudi Arabia. You can see compliance rates that is expressed in red, a very, very large number of opportunities. You can see the compliance that moved from 30% to 60%, 63%, and then to 68%. This was reported in the annual meeting of SHE in the United States in 2007. And in blue, you can see the consumption of alcohol-based hand rub moving from 0.8 liters per bed per month to 10 liters per bed per month. So a nice takeover of the strategy in this case. And the next slide show you in parallel catheter-related bloodstream infection rates in adult ICU in the pilot sites hospitals in Saudi Arabia in the period that was before the campaign, the so-called pre-campaign period in 2005, and then in the different phases of the campaign called P2, P3, P4, and P5. And as you can see, the number of catheter-related bloodstream infections per 1,000 catheter days was nicely reduced and decreased over this study period. So again, a very nice example with here an outcome measurement that is well illustrated in these pilot sites in Saudi Arabia. If we move to the next slide, we move to slides for an example of Europe, Italy. In Italy, we observed and we had a massive national campaign with 200 complementary sites, 200 hospitals implementing the WHO strategy. And as you can see, the number of hospitals in the different region from Italy, if you recognize the map, are illustrated on the right-hand side of the slide. We also had a network of 41 ICUs as pilot sites in Europe, monitoring not only hand hygiene, but also healthcare-associated infections in parallel. We'll now move to the next slide that shows to you the Italian pilot sites' compliance pre- and post-implementation in the 41 ICUs. And as you can see, compliance, which is the first two columns on the left-hand side of the slide, increased from 55% on average to 69% on average, from 55% in blue before implementation to 69% in yellow after implementation. In parallel, and these are the second columns, blue and yellow, you see the proportion of actions that were due to hand rubbing before and after, before in blue, after in yellow. And the third columns indicate hand washing before, hand washing after. And as you can see, definitely healthcare workers started to use hand rubbing a lot more after the implementation strategy in this case. Alcohol-based hand rub availability, according to our structure survey that is depicted on the right-hand side of the slide, was available post-implementation at every bedside, whereas it was only available at 70% of the bedside before implementation. We have preliminary data from Italy, no slide to show you, to illustrate that healthcare-associated infection rates were reduced as a result of the implementation strategy. Again, a nice example from Europe of the success of the strategy. Let's move now to the next slide, which is an illustration for Southeast Asia, Bangladesh. Here we had a pilot testing at Chittagong Medical Hospital. The Ministry of Health is considering now to move to a national scale-up, and we had an institutionalization of infection control and hand hygiene, something that was not existing before. The Ministry of Health has hired 6 national coordinators that are nurses, 7 national coordinators that are doctors. They had installed 3,100 sinks in all Bangladesh. We have produced large number of bottles of alcohol-based hand rub, and more had to be produced. There is a National Society for Infection Control to be launched this year in Bangladesh, and that's to us very, very important. On the next slide, we show you results of the Western Pacific area in Hong Kong that moved from system change to behavioral change. In this case, you can see that you have a slide with 3 different columns that are orange and blue. The first columns are before, the second 2 columns are after, and it is between 4 and 6 months after the implementation strategy in each case. So total will be 6 plus 6, 12 months in the post-2 period. And in this case, we have a test hospital and we have control hospitals. And as you can see, in control hospitals in blue, there was no improvement in hand hygiene that was monitored, whereas in the test hospitals, there was a marked improvement in compliance with hand hygiene. In this case, alcohol-based hand rub production was monitored, and we could nicely demonstrate that in one hospital, we could obtain a sparing in 2007 in the amount of resources used by producing alcohol-based hand rub that is amounting around 10,000 euros, which is the equivalent of 15,000 US dollars, just by saving on the product that were used for hand washing with medicated soap and water and switching system change from these soap and water to alcohol-based hand rub production. So not only in this case, we increase the amount of alcohol-based hand rub that was used, we improve compliance, but we also decrease the cost that were associated with the material used for hand washing with soap and water before. We have also, from this site, early results that illustrate reduction in infection in the pilot sites, and this data will be presented later during this year. So it was very important for me to show you some of these results to attest the effectiveness of the program. Now we would like to go in the second part of our talk for today, which will be presenting to you our Safe Lives, Clean Your Hands, 5th of May 2009 initiative. And for these, I would like to give the microphone to my colleague, Dr. Cyrus Engineer, who is the project manager of the project and will introduce the project to you.
Thank you, Professor Pite, and it is indeed a pleasure to be speaking to all of you. I hope you can hear me. And I hope you have the title slide in front of you. And I'm going to walk you through what this initiative is all about and why we decided to have this initiative, basically the aims of this initiative, and at the end we'll talk about what we actually would like you to do or what help we want from you. Yeah. So that is the game plan. The next slide is, why did we think about this initiative? The Save Lives, Clean Your Hands initiative is actually building on the political advocacy work that has been successfully done since 2005 by the First Challenge, which you saw a map earlier that Professor Pites showed where there was a lot of orange, and 116 WHO member states or countries since 2005 have formally signed a pledge committing themselves to action for healthcare-associated infection. And that has resulted in some success. We've got a good number of countries who said we will launch national campaigns. So what we really want is to move on a bit further and not be content with the success of 32 member countries who have campaigns right now, but we really want to see many more countries sign up and also move on to the real action at the point of care. The point of care here is essentially the bedside. So we have countries who are engaged, about 116. Now we want to move on from advocacy to the point of care, which is the bedside. The bottom line is that we are not taking cleaning hands as seriously as we should. We sometimes take it very lightly because it's not visible, but the fact of the matter is, and which Professor Pite and the First Challenge team has spent decades in convincing people, that hand hygiene can save lives. It really can, and that's what we want everybody to believe in. Next slide. So why the 5th of May? Again, behavior change takes time. Behavior modification is a journey, and it cannot happen in a single day. The journey started long ago in 1847 with Professor Semmelweis in Austria in a clinic who said hand hygiene is important. And here we are about 150 years later still talking and discussing hand hygiene. Now, what should we talk about? We need to make this happen and make this a movement. And like many campaigns, we want to focus on this, not lose focus on this, and therefore we're thinking of an annual day each year. We want it to be a UN-mandated day. Simple as it sounds, it is complex, so we don't want to lose focus about it, and we want it to be something that everybody joins hands. And so on 5th May 2009, we are going to launch a global call to action for healthcare facilities all over the world to sign up for this and demonstrate their support So we want to move on not only from a political level, but we want to move on to healthcare facilities. So if you are a healthcare worker, an infection control person, a person who is associated with infection control programs, a nurse, a doctor, then this is your chance to sign up and to show that your facility is committed. What we're going to do is we realize that just having the knowledge is not enough. So WHO has actually put in immense work, as you saw in a few slides earlier, which Professor Pite took you through, where we, you know, the guidelines is just a document, but, you know, it's not enough. So a whole set, a range of tools have been developed that you can decide and use to improve hand hygiene, to implement hand hygiene, the multimodal strategy. So we want to encourage facilities to use these tools, to download these tools from the website, and to actually implement them in the bedside, you know. So that is why we want to continuously focus on 5th of May. We also want pledge countries to launch new campaigns. Some of those countries that have not got campaigns should launch campaigns in their countries. And I say this with a lot of emphasis because you see a lot of work for TB, malaria, HIV, but we all know that healthcare-associated infections is a big issue and therefore needs a lot of attention. So we want people to spend money having campaigns to protect and save lives. And in the end, we want a formal network of campaign nations. We want countries to join hands and formally help other countries who do not have campaigns to sort of develop new campaigns in their countries and chalk a journey ahead to conquer healthcare-associated infections. The next slide talks about our aims, and without going into each one of them, I will just say the major two objectives of this initiative. One is to reduce healthcare-associated infections through improved hand hygiene, a very simple, cost-effective, time-tested, proven, unquestioned strategy. So that's the major objective. If we can do that by hand hygiene, why not? And the second is to move the 5 moments for hand hygiene, the model that you saw a few slides earlier, which Professor Peter described, from theory to practice. Okay, so when should one perform hand hygiene? Before and after patient contact, and all those 5 moments. So we want to advocate for the global compliance for the 5 moments model and encourage pledge countries to start their own national hand hygiene programs to strengthen infection control. So those are the aims. So how are we going to do that? On 5th May, we are going to launch a new website on the WHO Clean Care Safer Care website with all the tools that Professor Peter talked about, properly packaged, which have been tested, and lots of resources to improve hand hygiene in healthcare facilities. So these will be available free for download, for access, that any hospital healthcare facility wants to access them. We will also have them in print format in different languages. So if you need them, just send us an email and we can ship them over to you. The idea is we're going to have a global call to action for all healthcare facilities on 5th of May. This is going to be the starting point, telling everybody, please support this campaign, support this cause, sign up. So we've got a website address listed there. We already have a website where any hospital or healthcare facility can register. And once they register, they will be able to access all these tools, all the toolkit material, and also get periodic updates from WHO. So please sign up. If you are a hospital, if you are in infection control, I urge you to go to the website to look at the material, and it answers a lot of questions. And if you still have questions, please send us an email. We already talked about this, so I'm going to skip this slide, but these are the tools that will be available on the website, okay? Next slide is the next steps. What we want is a lot of support from you. We're requesting for a lot of support. We're requesting that you communicate your support of this to everybody that you know, to everybody who is a healthcare worker or who is involved with infection control, to spread the word about May 5th, and that it's a journey. We recognize it's a long journey, and the 5th May 2009 is just the beginning. And encourage healthcare facilities to sign up on this site. Today, we already have 230 healthcare facilities signed up from more than 40 different countries. Our goal is to have at least 5,000 hospitals and healthcare facilities signed up globally. It's free. It doesn't cost much. There is no obligation. You will have access to a range of tools. So please, please sign up and please support this initiative. Go to the next slide, which is the perspectives. We recognize that this is the first step on a long-term journey. 2009 is the first year. We will get a mandated UN Global Hand Hygiene Day. That's the next step. And we are going to lobby for this. That will happen soon. And we're going to have a Vision 2020 that actually lists a roadmap and a journey towards successful hand hygiene. The second last slide is mark your diaries and sign up. 5th May 2009, please put it in your diary. It's the Save Lives, Clean Your Hands Day or initiative. There's the website address. I hope you are, if you're a healthcare facility, please sign up for this cause. The last slide is something that we all need to recognize that without question, it is now possible to improve hand hygiene in your facility. It is not only possible, it's your duty to protect patients and yourself, and you can make a change. It's not about resources. You can produce your own alcohol. You will have all the tools. Infection control is easy, and you can save lives. It's just a humble request from Professor Pite, who has dedicated a major part of his lifetime in trying to promote this, that we continue this and make it happen. So thank you. And now both Professor Pite and I are available for any questions that you may have.
Thanks for the presentation. I'm calling from Montreal, Canada. I have quite a conceptual question for you, Dr. Pite. I can picture how one can measure the consumption of hand rub lotion, or how one can look at numbers of cases into surveillance programs, but I have trouble picturing how one can assess compliance. So maybe you could maybe elaborate a bit more on that?
Yeah. Well, the way you can measure compliance is completely described in our implementation strategy. And earlier, I showed you this very simple-looking cartoon called My 5 Moments for Hand Hygiene. If you look at those 5 moments and you look at our implementation pack, there is a full description of how to monitor those 5 moments in every healthcare setting and in almost every patient care activity. So the tool is already developed. You can access the tool in our website, and you can have the monitoring system to monitor hand hygiene compliance. It's clear that you have to observe healthcare practices. You have to observe what we call opportunities for hand hygiene. You have to follow up the guidelines that have been developed, but it's very simple. There is a training material. There is even a DVD that can train you of how to observe hand hygiene practices. So we have been testing this strategy now in many, many different countries around the world, in different continents, and we can tell you it works very well.
Thank you both. That was really outstanding. Dr. Engineer, you indicated that people can contact you by email. Is your email address on the website that's there, or would you like to give it?
Yeah, why don't I give it to you? The website has a specific address. It's called savelives@who.int.
Professor Pite, how soon will the new guideline be completed, the final revised guideline, then how can people access that?
That's a very important question, Paul. Actually, the new guidelines have been re-edited. They have been revised by experts from around the world, peer-reviewed. They have been revised also by internal peer revision at WHO. And now we are in the final editing process. And the guidelines are, if you like, revised according to the experience that we had from the testing from all over the world. And the addition of the guidelines and the launch of the guidelines would be on the 5th of May. So on May the 5th, 2009, we will have printed, we'll have accessible from the website, we'll have all sorts of ways to get the guidelines, and they will be available on the 5th of May.
Good. Well, thank you very much. I would also like to again thank Deb Canada for their sponsorship of this teleclass and their support of infection control education as a whole. They do good things, and I thank you to all of those folk. And finally, Professor Pite and Dr. Engineer, thank you both very much. This was an outstanding lecture.
Thank you. It was our pleasure.
And everyone, until we meet again, goodbye.